Well, greetings in the name of our Lord and Jesus this morning. Have we been loosed and let go? I was so blessed with what has been shared already this morning. Brother Eli, about the last verse he read in the scripture this morning, were the words from Jesus that said, let him loose, let him go. Have we been let loose and let go this morning? I have just been richly encouraged this morning. We got here this morning and seemed like an awful small crowd. A lot of people not here. Or it seems like a lot of people. Bless Brother Levi for his big family. When he's gone, half of the church is gone, it seems like. But I was also blessed to see brothers and sisters that we haven't seen in quite a long time. It felt like so long since we have met here to worship together. And this morning was just a blessing. Some of us, it's been, 2 weeks since we've been here. We skipped last Sunday. And then others, it was more like 4 or 5 weeks. And so, welcome back, everyone, this morning. We are here to meet with Jesus this morning and nothing else. And I've just been so richly encouraged this morning by prayer time this morning. The title of my message was mentioned and prayed this morning, and it really blessed me. It was confirmation from the Lord that he will be with us today. And I have been encouraged by that. It's a beautiful morning, clear Sunday morning. Is it that way in our hearts this morning? Are we feeling refreshed so far? Are we encouraged? I will write the title of my message on the board this morning, if I can find them. There we go. We heard a lot already this morning about Jesus and his teachings. And we heard different confessions or brothers express their need this morning in prayer that maybe we feel discouraged, maybe we faced some hard times, maybe we faced discouragement in this past week, we felt alone, we felt like we needed to be encouraged and filled again, and how can we do that and be salt and light at the same time? And so the purpose for this message this morning is not to continue and discourage anybody that the only way to be salt and light is to be filled with Jesus, right? If we don't have Jesus in our heart and in our lives, and if we're not encouraged and overflowing, then we have nothing to offer. And from ourselves and in and of ourselves, we have nothing to offer anyways without Jesus. For those of us who expressed a little bit of a discouragement this morning, this message is meant to encourage you. If I am not feeling filled and encouraged this morning, look to Jesus. He can encourage us, and he has done that this morning in our song service. This morning for a text, let's turn to Matthew 5. That is where the title is coming from, in Matthew 5, verse 13. I'll be talking about two of the points that Jesus, of the many points that he talked about in the, or taught us in the Sermon on the Mount, and it's going to be on salt and light. Matthew 5, verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray. Righteous Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning, O God. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together, Lord, this morning. Father, I recognize that Without you, we can do nothing, Father. We can't be salt. We can't be light, Father. Lord, I just pray that you would meet with us here. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, especially myself here, Lord, as I talk about your word, Father. May you bless it. Have it go out and bring much more fruit than I could accomplish on my own, Father. May you help me to be emptied of self and full of you, Father. Thank you so much for being a kind Father to us and hearing our prayers. May you continue doing so throughout this service. In your name we pray. Amen. Picture with me this morning, Jesus, knowing that he had just a short time before he went back to be with the Father, to instruct his people what to do, how to be, who to be, when he goes back to be with the Father. And picture also, it says that he went out on the mount and the people gathered around him. Ordinary people like you and me. He didn't go into the town and look for people that had neckties on and that were highly educated people with high IQ levels to sit down in some big conference room to instruct them and teach them how to demonstrate him or go out and be representatives for him when he goes back to be with the Father. And he knew that when he goes back to be with the Father, it will be how many years before he comes back? Quite many years. It's already been, what, over 2,000 years so far. And so when you think about these things, Jesus went on the mount, and the Sermon of the Mount is one of the most powerful teachings that I can think of from Jesus. I mean, there was bits of them throughout his teachings. There was just, when Jesus spoke, it was powerful. It just didn't matter. And Eli pointed out a few of those scriptures this morning, even a few that I had thought about mentioning, but don't have to. When Jesus taught, he used simple yet very profound words to make a point. And here's two of them, salt and light. What is he talking about? When he said, you are to be the salt of the earth, what is he talking about? Most of us know what salt is. Do we know where salt comes from? Why did Jesus use salt back in that day, 2,000 years ago? First of all, salt is a result of something. It's not just in and of itself a product that you can go out and grab a handful of salt off of the earth or off of a tree or something else. Salt is a result of something. It is made either from the sea. People go out in the sea, they gather seawater because it's got salt in it. And then it goes through a process, a pretty intense process, to finally at the end of this process, you have got pure salt. And one of the processes, one of the steps is high heat in that process is what makes pure salt. And then another way is people mine it. It is in the earth. It's like a rock. Deep down, I had a good friend in Ohio that worked for a salt mine, and I remember him talking about how far they were. I think it was like a mile, maybe a mile down in the earth, that they would have a elevator that they would take down and go down and work for the day underground 1 mile, and they would chip the salt away, and it would go on elevators and go up and again go through a process before it was pure salt. So salt is a result of, it goes through a purifying process before it is good to be used, and so do we. When we think about salt, Jesus called us to be like salt. First of all, there is something that has to happen with us before we can be useful. We have to be ground to pieces. We have to be ground to powder. We have first to be part of the bigger picture, which is Jesus himself, before we can be useful. Back to Jesus going out on the mount with just ordinary people like you and me, that should encourage us this morning. With all our woes, all our fears, all our discouragements that we face, we can come to Jesus. We never have to go through a certain door or enter through a certain person so that we can come back and talk to Jesus. He's just such a simple man, like Brother Eli shared this morning. And he used fallen people, fallen man like me and you, and he said, you are to be the salt of the earth. That should humble us this morning. There's nothing about that makes me prideful. Look at me. Who am I? But that should humble us. That Jesus, this man, this king, chose me and you. If we have been born again, he chose me and you and said, you are to be the salt of the earth. So this morning, if we're feeling a little bit discouraged, let's take heart here that and be encouraged that Jesus needs us. Jesus needs every one of us in this room to go out and be salt to the earth. This earth is so full of people that have absolutely no hope. They're not sitting in church this morning, or maybe they are, and they're not being fed, they're not being encouraged, because there's no salt, there's no light. Jesus said, you are to be the salt of the earth. What does salt do? How many different ways can salt be used? When we think about salt, I think Jesus was, he didn't just quickly say this, that you shall be salt and light. There was something behind this statement and the reason he used this, the purpose that he used salt. Let's look at some ways salt can be used. Salt preserves. That's one of the first ones. You ladies know that salt preserves. You can take meat, vegetables, or anything else you want to, and you put it in salt or a brine, and you can keep it for months, maybe years. Salt preserves. Back in when Jesus gave this teaching, there was no refrigerators. That's the way they cured meat. That's the way they kept food. That's the way they stored food. Salt was such a priceless product back then. It was even used for, as we use money today, they would use it for buying things. Salt was such a, back then they didn't have all the fancy equipment to go out and mine salt like we do today. So if you had salt, you were a rich person. So are we. If we have salt in our lives because of the Lord Jesus, we are richly blessed this morning. Salt reveals flavor. We all know that. When we go to cook, some of us like to eat, as myself. And I know what it tastes like when you take a piece of meat and it has no salt. There's hardly any flavor. But you add a little bit of salt and the flavor just pops out. I mean, it's amazing to me how that little, just a little sprinkle of salt can make such an amazing difference. And can we be encouraged this morning by that? When Jesus says, you are the salt, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about me and you going out, making a difference in the world. The flavor, we're to bring out the flavor, the God flavors of this earth, in this world, in society. It also heals and reveals. Not only does it reveal flavors, it reveals sores, wounds, all kinds of different things that it reveals. Some of us know that if you put salt on a wound, an open wound, it burns. It really burns. And so does the salt of Jesus on a heart that is maybe wounded. Maybe we're holding sin inside. Maybe we have a grudge against somebody. The light of Jesus or the salt of Jesus will reveal that for you. You come into the presence of God, he will reveal that sore for you by salt. Just being around other people that have salt and light in their life will do that for you. You can sense the freeness in their life. You sense the flavor, the encouragement that comes out of their lives. Salt heals. There's a lot of ways that people use salt for healing purposes. Salt purifies. You can use it a lot. It's probably the ingredient for purifying things. And salt cleans. A lot of ways you can use salt to clean. Clean carpet, clean numerous different things that you can clean. And I don't claim to know all them. This is just by research. I didn't figure all this out myself, but salt puts out fires. you take a fire burning, especially a grease fire, and you spread salt over it, and it goes down. Are we that way? Are we salt? Jesus said you are to be the salt of the earth. Are we that way? Do we put out fires, or are we like gasoline? Something comes around, we listen to it. Yep, I thought so, you know, and we pour some more gas on it, and we spread the fire. Or are we like salt, putting out fires this morning? And many more things, other things that salt does. Salt is in the same family, word family, as salvation. The word salvation comes from the same family as salt. Just some different ways that when Jesus says, you are to be the salt of the earth, these are some of the ways, some of the things he was thinking about. But probably the one that I like the most is that it preserves. What are we preserving this morning? When he wants to use us as salt, when Jesus was on the mountain, he said, you are to be salt of the earth. What was he thinking about? What did he have in mind? I think he wanted us to be, to go out, tell the world who he was, who he is. Remember I talked about he knew that he just had a short time here, and then he was going to go back to be with the Father. And he was using these very simple yet powerful ways to demonstrate to them that today, when me and you open the Bible and we read that, we can connect with that. We can connect with what he's talking about. He didn't use some big words that we can hardly figure out what means. You know, you go into a company today that Michael used to work for, a big company, you probably know more about this, but they would have all kinds of big ways to try to make a name for themselves and try to get their name out there, try to represent, have the best people to represent their company, very well trained. You know, nowhere will you find a big company that will just go out on the street, find ordinary people like you and me and bring them in, teach them for a little while, and then say, go represent us as a company. Go sell our product. Probably today more emphasis is put on how you present us, how you make me look. Jesus, when we look at the teachings of Jesus, it just blesses me, the simple ways that, the simple things he used. His point was not to, how would I look to the people, but make sure that what I am going to do for you gets around to the world. Make sure that salvation and the power that I am about to open for you, make sure you take that message out to the world. That was Jesus' purpose when he was here for teaching what he did. We are to be the salt of the earth. When we think about how do we preserve, back to salt, preserve. How do we preserve? What are we to preserve? What was Jesus, what did he have in mind? One of the things I think I have mentioned already was to preserve the faith and to preserve the truth that God has for us in his word. He uses, this Bible here, if you just take the Bible in and of itself and set it up here, has nothing, has no power. But if he has vessels that are filled with Jesus, have salt in our lives and have light in our lives, now the word becomes alive. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to do. He was preparing me and you and us for taking his word out and letting the world know what he did for us. That was one of the reasons. Here's a little writing from a writer that I really appreciated on this. When we think about what we're called for, how would salt today, us being salt, how would that look in today's, where we're at now, in preserving? What are we to preserve? I'll read this writing. It expresses my heart very clearly. It has been said that the Christian faith is never more than one generation from extinction. One generation is what? 10 years? How long is a generation? 20 years, okay. It has been said that the Christian faith is never more than one generation from extinction. This may be an alarmist statement, but there is an element of truth in it. There are cultures in the Western world at the present time that have seen a progressive decline in spiritual nurture over three generations, to such an extent that these cultures, which were previously strongholds of the faith, are now post-Christian societies. Mission fields as dark as any primitive society. Can we get a hold of that? The answer to such a threat is simple. Every man who brings a child into the world should accept the privilege and responsibility of seeing that his child is giving a working knowledge of the Lord, his dealings with mankind, his offer of salvation, and the joys of living in vital communion with him, with the Lord. No one can guarantee the next generation will come to faith, but everyone can make sure they have a chance. May we remember that. No one can guarantee the next generation will come to faith, but everyone can make sure they have the chance. And when we think about being salt, that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. We are to be focused on what God wants from us. So many of us, including myself, we worship on Sunday, but Monday morning work begins, right? And we go through the week and it's all about me and what I can get accomplished and how much I can make. And it seems to me like this whole thing of what does Jesus really want from me? When he said you are to be salt, what is he talking about? Do we cultivate those things? Do we think about and consider the business of Jesus, or are we about our own business? Even today, am I here to try to make a name for myself, or am I here to lift up the Lord Jesus this morning? Lord, help us. It is so easy for us to get wrapped up. The more I consider, the more I study into it, the more I look over my own life, it is so easy for us. I think it was not in Jesus, when he went and taught, when he was here for that short time, I think that's why he used this simple illustration so that we, you know, if he would have gave us a complicated, something that's really complicated, it would have probably been lost long gone, long time ago. We don't understand it. Give me a manual of some big piece of equipment that is almost impossible for me. Number one, I don't really know much about the equipment. Number two, I can't read that well. That manual will collect dust for a long time. I won't read it. But the Bible is so simple, and the points that Jesus made were so simple, but so powerful. And I think that's one of the reasons that it keeps us hungry. It keeps us looking like they're just so easy to understand, like Brother Eli shared this morning. How are we doing in preserving the Christian faith this morning? Are we doing our part? Am I a vessel of salt? Or maybe I'm a vessel of red pepper. Maybe I'm black pepper. You all know what food tastes like maybe it has too much salt. I don't think we can have too much salt for the Lord Jesus, but we can have too much salt in food to where it almost burns when you eat it. Or you can have enough, or you don't have enough. Another way is to be comforting. Be comforting to the saints. Brothers and sisters, salt is also comforting. It's not only does it hurt, it's also comforting because it brings healing. And are we doing that to each other? James says, can salt water and sweet water come from the same fountain? Can I be on fire for the Lord Jesus on Sunday and during the week live for myself? Is that possible? We are to bring out the world, the colors in this world. Are we willing to be used by God this morning as a vessel of salt? Are we willing? Or are we looking to just please myself, go through life, see what I can get for myself, what I can do for myself, what I can accomplish? What are we doing with our time? Here's another writing on salt that I really appreciate it. It was a writing on Matthew 5, verse 13 about salt. If a seasoning has no flavor, it has no value. If Christians make no effort to affect the world around them, they are of little value to God. If we are too much like the world, we are worthless. Christians should not blend in with everyone else. Instead, we should affect them positively, just as seasoning brings out the best flavor in food. So should we be. I was just blessed by that illustration for seasoning. If we are too much like the world, we are worthless. So what is the world? We could go into a whole nother discussion there. Okay, let's focus a little bit on the last part of the verse there, or the text where, maybe I'll just read it again. Ye are, verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Okay, what is he talking about? When he said light, you are to be the light of the world. What light is he talking about? There's many different ways that he uses the word light in the Bible. But in this case, I believe he is talking about our good works. I think some of us sometimes we get a little bit carried away and we just want to be like everybody else. I don't want to stand out too much. You know, that'd be boastful, that'd be prideful, and it can be. I'm not saying that we always have a pure motive in that, but let's not let that hinder us to stand up for Jesus. Here he's saying you are to be the light of the world. So when you put a light somewhere, it makes a difference, unless there's no power to it. That's one aspect. We're going to look at a few different aspects about light here, but one of the first ones is a light without power doesn't go anywhere. If it's not connected to a source of energy, there is no light. Now, a light is also a reflection from something. I don't know how many of you walked out last night. Brother, you were driving home, so you all know. But I walked out last night, and I just worshiped God. It was a full moon, and just clear skies, stars shining, and you could almost see, like it was, I actually got a picture of it, where it almost looks like daylight. And it was just amazing, the moon, how bright it was, and how it just, yeah, you can't help but worship when you walk outside like that. And so the moon is obviously a reflection of the sun, right? So I think when he's saying that we are to be the light of the world, he wasn't thinking that we're going to do our best to somehow get good works together to go out and make a difference. But it's a result of being connected to the Lord Jesus, being true born-again believers that are filled with salt and light that will go out and make a difference. We will shine. I brought a light here for the sake of illustration. I'm going to use this a little bit. I wasn't quite sure that I'll get there, but I think I will. When we think about salt and light. Now that light, we can talk about light all day long, but if we're not making a difference, it's no good. It's useless, and I think that's how we are with the Lord. If we're just talking about him and the power, there's no power in our lives, there's no victory in our lives, there's no change in our lives, we are like that light sitting there right now. It doesn't make a difference. How would you know it's a light? Well, because we know about it, but when you go and you connect that light to a source of energy, now it makes a difference. And I think that is how we are when we get converted. Our light shines, and it's that quick too. It is that quick. That light goes on like that. When we get converted, that's how we are. The Lord Jesus, we will shine instantly for the Lord. Now, maybe it's not that bright, but as years go by, I think we can be shining lights for the Lord Jesus that make a difference. You take this light into a dark room, what will it do? It'll light up the whole room, and that's what he said here, for all men to see. He didn't just save so that a few people could see your light. He said, for all men, the whole world can see that we're on fire for Jesus. And so that's what it will do. You take that light in somewhere in a dark room when there's sin in it, what will it do? It exposes it. You take it in a dark room where it's full of rats, you know what happens. Have you ever seen that? you take that light in and you turn that light on, sin takes off. Rats, they explode everywhere. They don't just come up. However, light does have a very drawing and a comforting effect too, if we're right with the Lord Jesus in that aspect. So let's look at a few aspects of light here. What does light do? Why does he use light? What did he say? Why did he say you're to go out, be a light to the world? Number one, light illuminates. We talked about that a little bit. It gives light. It gives off. You know how useful a light is when it's dark in a room and you're looking for something. You can't find it. You switch on the light. There it is. It brings to light everything. Light attracts. We all know that. You take this light outside after dark, right now especially, and you flip that switch, and pretty soon you'll be bombarded with bugs and everything else. Now, I don't know that illustration necessarily holds out in Jesus' sense that Jesus talked about here, because light doesn't attract a sinner. What is that verse? It says that they loved darkness more than light because their deeds were evil. That's what I'm talking about. Somebody that is not walking with Jesus doesn't really like light. I remember before I was converted, it was that way for me. Being around people that had salt and light in their lives were uncomfortable. Made me nervous. Why? Because it exposed my darkness. It exposed my ignorance. It exposed my, just who I was. I wasn't cleansed. Didn't have light in my life. Light warms. We all know that. In the wintertime, on a dark, cold night, you walk into a lighted up house. It's a blessing. And I think that's how it should be for us as brothers and sisters. We should be that kind of warmth for a lost and dying soul. If he walks into the midst of us, I think maybe Brother Eli shared about that a little bit this morning, or maybe Marlon, on heaping coals on our enemies. That's what a light will do, and what we should do. When Jesus said that you are to be the light of the world, I think that's what he's talking about. We should shed light and comfort the people around us, and make uncomfortable the ungodly around us. If we're not making the ungodly uncomfortable around us, then I think we should check our light. If we're not shining, we just blend right in. But if we shine, it's going to make a difference. People are going to get exposed. Sin is going to get exposed, not only in other people's lives, but in our own lives. Praise the Lord for that. I think sometimes when we first get converted, I know it was that way for me. I thought I was complete. I was just on fire for the Lord, and it should be that way. I'm not discouraging that. But as time goes on, the more, maybe the older I get, the more I realize that, man, my light was awful dull. I had light, praise God, but it was awful dull. It didn't shine for us like it should have. I could still walk in with other sinners, and what would I do? I would just turn it way down. Wouldn't stand out so far. Wouldn't stand out so much. Maybe I wouldn't talk about it at all. Maybe I'd try to just click it off when I walked into my friends instead of talking about Jesus. Okay, light warms. We talked about that white, that one. Light comforts. Very comforting. I just recall being a little boy. I was probably, 8, 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there. My sister lived about a mile down the road from us, down in Ohio, a little country road. And she would always have us boys, especially me, come and help her during the day, and with house chores, obviously. And there was many a night after dark, after the chores were done and all the dishes were done and everything, I would get to go home at times. The problem was it was dark, and it was a mile from there to home. So I remember so clearly setting out to go home. Either I had my little wagon where I would pedal myself down the road, one foot on the wagon, or I'd be walking, rather running after dark. And I remember so clearly starting home, had a little bridge there right close, and you cross the bridge and thinking, am I going to do this? There's coyotes howling, there's, owls screaming, and it was scary. There was times when the hair stood up on the back, on my back, like, man, that's a mile. And something starts chasing me now, it's going to have me. However, there was a schoolhouse about halfway. Maybe I could make it there. But one thing I so clearly remember is I would set out, and pretty soon you could see a light at home. And it wasn't electricity. It was a little gasoline lamp or kerosene lamp. That's all we had, was kerosene. And I remember so clearly that I would keep my eye on that light. And that was so comforting to me, even though I was still out here in the dark. You know, nothing had really changed except that light and my perspective about how I felt about what was around me at that time. And I would keep my eyes on that light, and I would run for it. I mean, beat it. And by the time I get closer and closer to that light, it seemed like the darkness just went away. Coyotes were further away. Everything just went further away. I don't think it really did, but that light made the difference. I was coming closer to home. And I think that's exactly what light should do, the light of Jesus should do in our lives. It should comfort the saints around us, my wife, my children, my brothers and sisters, and it should also comfort the sinner. Now, I'm not saying we should comfort a sinner in his sin, but we should. A sinner shouldn't be afraid to walk up to us and talk to us. We are to be the salt and the light of the earth. And Jesus, he knew what he was talking about when he said that. I just know that it is so hard for me still to just be a light and be okay with being a light. It's okay for me to be a light around you all, but what if I get in the midst of I go to town. A little illustration this past week, I met up with a couple different people that I had a choice to make. Right at first, I kind of went for the switch because I didn't have time to talk. I was in a hurry. I didn't really want to shed light on a given situation, but one in particular made me very uncomfortable. I delivered a shed to a man, and it was a younger man. I drove in, and he come out. We started talking about where to put this shed, and it was getting towards the evening, and I was in a hurry. I still had a few buildings to do. So we were talking there, and he said, "Hey, let me go get my husband." And something inside of me said, "That's not right." So he went off to the house, and I started cultivating the thing. And pretty soon he comes back out with another young man, supposedly his husband. And I could have puked almost. It was just that distasteful to me, just that, how can you do that? So I'm thinking, will I or won't I? Will I or won't I let my light shine? I don't have time. But then finally I said, I will. There's no way I'm going to walk away from this situation and not shed light on what was just said. So at the end of it, I said, do you easily get offended? I said, no. Or do you get offended easily? Whatever. Anyways, I said, did I hear you correctly? Did you say my husband? And instantly he kind of started apologizing and making excuses. And I didn't say much. He said the most. But anyways, he started trying to convince me that it's okay. He's a believer. He goes to church. And my point is, how dark is the world that we live in? When you have professing Christians saying those kind of things, living in obvious sin, and then when I confronted him with the thing that, what does the Bible say? Well, he reasoned the Bible out of the picture. The Bible was translated after, and it was made up by men that had, you know, personal preferences and opinions. And so, therefore, he was still okay. At the end of the conversation, however, I told him, I said, all other arguments aside, I said, when you go to bed tonight, before you go to bed, would you do me a favor? Kneel down and ask the Lord, how do you feel about it? You don't have to remember what I said or what that other preacher said or what he said, but call on the Lord and ask him, how do you really feel about this matter? He will talk to you if you really want to know. And he kind of sobered up and said, okay. But what I wanted to point out here is more probably myself. How close did I walk away from that situation and never shed a light on what he had just said? How much of that do we do? How many opportunities do I miss during the week because I'm about my own business. And I forget some of these simple truths that Jesus taught to be salt and light. I need to move on here. There's another little saying on light here that I'd like to just read to us on the subject, on verses 14 through 16. Can you hide a city that is sitting on top of a hill? Its light at night can be seen for miles. If we live for Christ, we will glow like lights, showing others what Christ is like. We hide our light by, 1, being quiet when we should speak, 2, going along with the crowd, 3, denying the light, 4, letting sin dim our light, not explaining our light to others, or 6, ignoring the needs of others. Be a beacon of truth. Don't shut your light off from the rest of the world. And that is what I come so close to doing the other day, was just shutting my light off because I don't have time. Now, should our light shine constantly, or should we be able to just turn it on when we want to and off when we want to? I believe our light should be shining bright all the time. Now, there is things that we can do that will dim our light. Sin will choke it down. You know, there's many different things, many different ways we could talk about what will dim our light. But also, you take this light, and maybe I'll just do this to make my point here. He said here in not light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, it gives light to all who are in the house. And when you have a person shining for Jesus, try to put him out. You can put a veil, you can put things over top of people, you can cast shadows over people, you can do all kinds of things to try to downplay somebody's light, but you won't put it out. Now, it is up to us. If my light ain't shining this morning, it's not because of somebody else. It's my fault, because there's power available in Jesus this morning that my light can shine. Even if I'm alone, my light can shine. If my light is not shining this morning, it is my fault, not yours, not anybody else's. It's not Jesus' fault. The power is available for us this morning to be a shining light. Somebody can put something over you. You know what happens when you put something over a light for a long period of time? It'll burn it up. There's enough heat there, it'll burn it up, and you're free again. That's what we should do for Jesus. We should always be shining no matter what the circumstances around us are. So maybe, hopefully I painted a little picture this morning of why Jesus called us to be salt to the earth and a light to the world. If you forget everything else I said this morning, remember that Jesus is looking for people, vessels that he can use to fill us with his power so that we can go forth and be salt to the earth and a light to the world. I thought I would read here in Romans 13, 11 through 14, maybe in closing here. These verses bless me just a little bit more on salt and light. Romans 13. Maybe I'll just read from 11 through 14. And do this, knowing the time, I'm in reading in a New King James Version. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. May we remember that this week as we go about our week. Let's remember God is looking for just simple people, just ordinary people. He's not looking for high IQ people to fill with salt and light, but you and me, he needs very much. God bless you all.